Okay, John chapter 15 is our scripture reading for today. We'll start our series next week on let's give up something bad for Lent. That'll start next week, but it's February 14th. It seems like the topic, the theme for today was pretty well preset. God has laid something on my heart that I pray that you'll be blessed with. John 15, which probably won't be in any of your Valentine's cards today, but really this passage could certainly fit. Beginning with verse 9. Jesus says, I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Live within my love. Now, somebody might say, how in the world do you live in His love? Or some of your translations might say, remain or abide in my love. The very next verse, Jesus gives the answer Himself. He says, when you obey me, you are living in my love. Just as I obey my Father and live in His love. You see, when the word love is used in the New Testament, especially by Jesus, it's always a verb, which is action, which means there's something to be done, a response, if you will, to that. Verse 11, I have told you this so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your cup of joy will overflow. I demand that you love each other as much as I love you. Some of your translations there say command. That's okay. It means the same thing. And here is how to measure it. The greatest love is shown when a person lays down his life for his friends. And you are my friends if you obey me. I no longer call you slaves, for a master doesn't confide in his slaves. You are my friends, proved by the fact that I have told you everything the Father told me. Rather than having the prayer as I always do, I thought with the occasion it would be appropriate if we sang a very, very special hymn right now. The words will be up on the board. My Jesus, I love Thee. If you prefer the hymnal, it's 172. Rhetorically, when you pray, do you tell Him you love Him? Do you tell Him you love Him? Are you that intimate with Him? Special. Creates a very special environment. It's just you and the Lord together. And you're being able to express those words to Him. You'll almost immediately feel the Holy Spirit come upon you and just reassure you. Yeah, I love you too. Very, very special. I always come to Valentine's Day with mixed feelings. Because probably like most guys, I ask my wife, what would you like? And the answer always is nothing. Yeah. The guys, you're all shaking your heads too. Yeah, I know. How many of us really buy that one? But, you know... Valentine's Day is special. As an adult, it's been a lot easier to be able to express and celebrate the day. But boy, I remember as a kid in school. Do kids still hand out Valentines in school? Do they? Man, I was in second or third grade. I think I was the only guy that handed them out. Now, you got to remember, this was back in the 80s, and it was... Some of you are, now I can see, some of you are starting to do the math. Like, what, 80s? Man, that doesn't work. And you know, the thing is, being of simple mind, I thought that if I gave a girl a Valentine, that was it for life. All 27 of them in the classroom. And, you know, I would become that annoying guy who would be trying to carry everybody's books. Back in that day, we had gym bags, not backpacks, and all that sort of thing. But what was weird was, I can truthfully tell you, until I became an adult, I don't know if I ever received a Valentine in class, which always left me very confused. And then as I got into high school, I realized it was probably not appropriate for me to be handing Valentines out anymore. But it was always kind of like that mixed feeling. And it got me thinking as a young kid, who's your Valentine? And as an adult now, those of us that are married, we know who our Valentine is. And we thank God for that. But is it possible that in God's mind, His desire is for us to be His Valentine and Him to be ours? Is it possible that that ultimately is what Saint Valentine, yes, he was a real saint. He was a real guy that lived in the 3rd century. And I'm not going to give you all the details now, but if you go to the website, I'll have a whole big thing posted on his life and how this holy day came into being. But it is founded, not by Hallmark, but by Christian tradition. And it is about love. And as we learn from Saint Valentine, he absolutely erred on the side of love and following God and not the culture, and that's what eventually led him to the martyrdom. But you'll see that on the website if you go there. But I'm not the only young kid that gets confused with Valentine's Day. Think of one little 5-year-old girl that told her teacher, Valentine's Day is when a girl puts on perfume and a boy puts on shaving cologne and they stink up the whole room together. About says it all, guys. About says it all. I think this passage we shared this morning can be looked at as God's Valentine to us. Jesus has a lot to say. You got to remember, from John 13 on, it's the whole, what we call Holy Thursday. Jesus is about to go to the cross. He has the Last Supper with His disciples. And John 15 is part of that conversation. He hasn't gone to the garden to pray yet. That's John 17. So He's still in the upper room here. And He's still talking to them. And here He is talking to them about love and what love really means. Jesus, from John 13 to John 17, Jesus uses the word love 30 times in at least 18 different verses. You know, when one thing you know when you read the Bible, if something is repetitive, it's kind of like you better pay attention. It isn't like when preachers preach the same point over and over again. It just means we're stuck. But when Jesus says something repeatedly, He's doing it for effect and to get our attention and say, hey, look, this is pretty important. I want you to grab this. So 30 times in these few chapters, Jesus mentions love. Love meant a great deal to Jesus. And all due respect to Tina Turner, who asked that haunting question, what's love got to do with it? Love's got everything to do with it. Tina says, doesn't she say? Tina says, love is just a second-hand emotion. I'm going to start singing. No, I promise you. I'll leave that for the disc jockey. No. Jesus says love is what it's all about. It's love that sent Him into the world. It's what love that sent Him to the cross. It's love that caused God to raise Him from the dead. It's God that took Him home. And because of Pentecost and the Holy Spirit, and all due respect to Captain and Tennille, it's love that keeps us together. It's love. And Jesus is stressing that in this beautiful, beautiful passage. It meant a lot to him. Few things I want us to lift up. Because if we're going to love like God loved, if we're going to have a true Valentine here on earth and in heaven above, we've really got to understand what Jesus is saying in this passage. And the first thing he says here is receive his love. That's first, receive his love. As I stated, Jesus knew he was going to be going to the cross in just hours. Just hours. And so he's sharing these last words with his followers. He knew that time was short, and he wanted to show them the fullest extent of his love. That's why he says in verse 9, I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Live within my love. Is there any greater feeling in the world, friends, than when somebody comes up to us and just says, I love. It's all the difference in the world, doesn't it? It suddenly makes a cloudy day sunny. It just makes you feel good to know that there's somebody who loves you. And here he is, just hours before he's going to die for him, to die for the very ones who are going to betray him, for the very ones he's going to the cross for. And he says, I love you. And the Holy Spirit has preserved these words in Scripture so that going down the halls of history, those words of Jesus echo to your ears and mine today. I love you. Stop and think about that. God, this moment, is whispering in your ear, I love you. And that's huge. That is huge. 1967, March, Frank Sinatra and his daughter Nancy recorded a song. It was called Something Stupid. That was the title of the song. I know Rob's going to have all these up at the second service, so come back and watch Rob have some fun at 11 o'clock. But one of the lyrics, part of the lyrics say, the time is right, your perfume fills my head, and oh, the stars are bright, and oh, the night's so blue. And then I go and spoil it all by saying something stupid like I love you. And all due respect to the Sinatras, there's nothing stupid with saying I love you. Over the years, I've had so many in my office who said, I just wanted to hear him or her say, I love you. Well, they know it. No, say it. Say it. And in all due respect to Hallmark, nobody says it like Hallmark I read somewhere. Say it yourself. Don't let somebody else say it for you. You say it. Guys, man up. Say it. Jesus is a real man. And he said, I love you. I love you. Jesus doesn't think it's stupid at all. The great theologian Karl Barth once said, everything I ever needed to know about theology and faith, I learned from just one song. You want to guess what that was? Yeah. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. That's all you need to know. Really? You don't need a master's degree in divinity. You don't need all that. You just need to know that Jesus loves you. This I know. Receiving the love of Jesus and living in His love every day is the first and most essential step to being a disciple of Jesus Christ. I think sometimes, hear me out, I think sometimes the Christian church in general gets it wrong. We say, we gotta go out and save souls. We gotta go out and save souls. We gotta go out, we gotta do this. We gotta go out, we gotta do that. Friends, listen, we cannot represent Jesus Christ if we're not in love with Him first. We can't point people to Jesus Christ if we don't know Him ourselves. The first and most important thing is that we know and we're grounded in His love. That's why Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. You've got to be grounded in Him. Loving Him. Some people love the church. Thanks be to God. But do they love Jesus? Some people will tell me, I'll start questioning them about their faith and we'll have a conversation. Well, I've been a member for 77 years. No, I didn't ask that question. Well, I've always attended that church. I didn't ask that question. Well, I've always served on this committee and that committee. I didn't ask that question. Do you love Jesus Christ? That's the benchmark. The being a member, the serving on the committee, the doing all the other stuff is an outflow of the love and relationship we have with Jesus Christ. We turn it on its head. And we wonder why we're just spinning our wheels in the Christian faith. As we draw closer to Jesus and stay connected to Him through the Holy Spirit, God funnels the love of Jesus into our hearts and lives, and it enables us to live a life which reflects Jesus. Only when we are in love with Jesus and we have His love in our hearts, only then can the words of 1 Corinthians 13, 4-8 come true. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It does not keep a record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. Love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. You see, we try to do it. We were talking about this in one of the Bible studies recently. We try to do it in our own power, and we wonder why we fall short. We've got to have the love of Jesus in our lives and in our hearts, and then the outflow will be 1 Corinthians 13. You can't do it the other way around. Try though we may, Jesus' love is the only perfect, pure love. That's why He says in verse 13, no one has greater love than this, to lay down their life for their friends. And don't we do that? If we love somebody, especially with our Valentine, what do we do? We want to make today great. We want to make every day great. We want to try to do everything we can to please them. Sometimes marrying couples can be very frustrating. I'm just telling you the way it is. It can be very frustrating. Sometimes, yes, and I've officiated at some where I said, why are they even getting married? Why? Because it's just like two people just wanting to make this commitment without making this commitment because they're still going to try to live solitary individual lives. If you've ever heard the expression, love is a 50-50 relationship, throw that idea right out the window. I assure you, professionally speaking, if your marriage is a 50-50 partnership, you're going to have a lot of trouble in that marriage. Those of you that have been married long, 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 long periods of time, would you not agree with me? Marriage is 100% giving yourself to the other. You can say amen if you want. 100%. You hold nothing back. Except my Elvis CDs. Except the Phillies games. 49er games. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. You hold nothing back. Because everything you do, there are sometimes I just go into the store. It might even be Wawa, and I'll go, yeah, half a gallon of ice cream, it's mine. And then all of a sudden I go, oh, no, I won't. Okay. Now what? I don't say that it's a bad thing. I say that's a good thing because it just says that no matter where I'm at, whether Judy's in my presence or not, mind is always there, and vice versa. And you guys, I see your head shaking. Yeah, you get what I'm saying. That's how it should be with God. We shouldn't have to stop and think, well, what does God think about that? Now, it should just come. It should be part of us. The Holy Spirit, we should be so in tune with the Holy Spirit and filled with His love that it just flows through us. And every year, as my Uncle Bill and Aunt Ruth said on their 60th wedding anniversary, She says, I'm happier now than I was 60 years ago. And Uncle Bill says, I love Aunt Ruth more than I did 60 years ago. That's how the relationship with God should be as well. It should be growing sweeter through the years and deeper and even more intimate, if that's even possible. But secondly, Jesus says here, reciprocate His love. In Jesus' day, a rabbi, disciples were known as their servants, or some of your translations, I believe, said slaves. Okay? That was a cultural thing back then. We interpret it as something different today. But it was a servant. Okay? Jesus says something different, which really would have thrown the first century audience thrown them on its head. It says, you are my friend if you do what I command you. I no longer call you servants because a servant doesn't know what the master is doing, but I call you friends because I've made everything known to you that I heard from my Father. In our relationship with God, Jesus promotes you from being a servant to a friend. We don't have to stand outside. Jesus invites us into the inner circle. It's kind of like let's invite marriage back to the table. Be careful here. I hope there's no secrets in your marriages. Got to be clean. You got to be honest with each other. You got to be honest. That's the type of honesty and openness we need with God as well. And He wants with us. Total openness. It's one thing to say, Jesus loves me. We all love that. But the reason I wanted to start with that song is for this. Can we say, I love Jesus? Yeah, forget. Jesus loves us. That's unarguable. We can't, even if we say, I don't want you to love me, He says, I can. I got to love you. That's who I am. But can we say in return, I love you, Him, and mean it, and truly, truly mean it? Is your love and my love for Him reflected in our life, at work, in the snow, in the cold? Is it reflected in everything that we do? Jesus said that the first and greatest commandment, which the praise team sung for us, is love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. And you know why I think Jesus says that? Because that's exactly the love between a man and a woman on earth. A love between a man and a woman, when you're giving 100%, is we love them with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we do lay our life down for them if necessary. That's what the biblical account is about. And that's why marriage, and I don't go on a tangent here, but that's why the whole sanctity of marriage is so critical to Bible-believing Christians, because it reflects the relationship God wants with humanity. And there's got to be that going on. Is our love for God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the driving force in our lives? Let me invite the Bee Gees to the table and ask the question, how deep is your love? When we get up, can we say, I see your eyes in the morning sun. I feel you touch me, O God, in the morning rain. Oh, okay. I'm thinking bell bottoms and paisley shirts, Thurman. I'm going to just not go any further with that song. Except to say that line that I love again, which can point us to God. And the moment you wander far from me, I want to feel you in my arms again. When we're separated from the one we love, can't we just wait until we're back together again? Do you come to church that way? Say, man, God's waiting for me with open arms. Or, what time's the bald guy getting done today? Which is it? We're here, resting in His arms. The beautiful thing. If everything we do isn't spurned by our deep love for God, then friends, nothing we do matters. Nothing else matters. That's why the third thing is this quickly. We need to recycle His love. The love that He's given us, we need to recycle it. Recycling means what? To take it and make it new again and put it out there again. Okay? And that's what we do with His love. Jesus says in John 15, verse 17 here, this is my command, love one another. Love one another. Once we receive the love of Christ in our lives and reciprocate that love, then we begin to recycle it by sharing it with the rest of the world. The commandment knocks the walls out of any definition that would limit the scope and intensity of love, doesn't it? We are to love, listen, as Jesus loved and loved. I'll be honest with you, that is an amazing opportunity, but a challenge for all of us as well. To love as He loved. John 13. Now remember, we're talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the one who died, the one who's going to be raised to life again, the one who created everything that is. When supper was over, you know what John 13 tells us He did? He got up from the table. And He put a towel around His waist. And He picked up a bowl. And He went around to all of the disciples who were about to betray Him and deny Him, and He washed their dirty feet. And Jesus Himself in John 13 says, this is why I did this, to give you an example to go and do the same thing. That's what the love of Jesus shows us. That's what the love of Jesus does. Annie Graham Lotz, who is Billy Graham's daughter, says, looking back on that night of John 13, the Apostle John must have recalled the tender tone of Jesus' voice, the loving look on His face and the gentle grace of His gestures, the piercing passion of His eyes, the princely posture of His person, and been awestruck that Jesus had expressed His love for His disciples to the utmost degree of which He was capable by serving them. Our role is not to be served, but to serve. To continue to do our best. St. Valentine became infamous for defying the emperor and standing up for God's view of love and marriage. But that didn't make him a saint. What made him a saint was that he received the love of Christ and then reciprocated that love of Christ, recycled that love of Christ to the world. We're going to take Holy Communion. And as we do, we're reminded of the great sacrifice, the great Valentine that Jesus gave to us. Because it's through our use of the bread and the juice that we're reminded that salvation is available, but we're also reminded of the great lengths that He was willing to go to demonstrate His love for us. Are we willing to take that love and show it for others? Let's pray. Father, we want to thank You for this day. We want to thank You, Lord, that You indeed are our Valentine. Father, may our desire this day, may our desire be to be Your Valentine. Father, we just humbly want to ask You to send down Your Holy Spirit on each and every one of us gathered here in this place and on these gifts of bread and juice, that they might be for us the body of Christ, that we may be for His world the body of Christ redeemed by Jesus' blood. By Your Holy Spirit, O God, make us one with each other, one with You and one in ministry to all the world until that glorious day when Jesus returns and we all together feast at His heavenly banquet. Through Your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in Your holy church, all honor and glory is Yours, Almighty God, now and forever. And now with confidence, let's pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.